big color, bigger savings. Sherwin-Williams Super Sale is here. Get 40% off paints and stains June 5th through the 11th with prices starting at $30.89. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
This week on Lunchbox Envy. In the 19th century, they were marketed as bags of mystery.
The longest one in the world stretched to 39 miles.
Truly a beacon in the British food canon and in the world food canon, let's be honest.
This week, we're swapping sausages. Hello and welcome to Lunchbox Envy. I'm Manu and I'm here with my fellow QI scriptwriter and food fiend Jack.
Hi Manu. Also around the table with us is chef and food writer Rosie McKean.
Greetings. I just want to mention how excited I am to be discussing my favourite food, or one of my favourite foods.
I think it's probably been many people's favourites for like millennia, because there are references in ancient Greek plays and in cuneiform tablets, and even in Homer's Odyssey there's a reference.
Yeah, I think they date back at least 3,000 years, so all the way back to ancient Mesopotamia.
Wow.
Which is modern day Iraq.
Just for the record, if you had to ask me what constitutes a fry up, I would say a sausage is more important over bacon.
That's quite controversial. I reckon most people would take bacon over sausage.
Yeah, but they're wrong. So I am firmly on the sausage train.
Team with sausage. Mm-hmm. Maybe when we get to the bacon episode, we can ask the listeners which one they prefer in English. So before we get started, Manu, what exactly is a sausage? Can you define it for us?
They are a type of force meat, which is the term for a meat that's been processed and chopped up really finely or ground. And they are usually piped into a casing that used to be made of animals' intestines.
Did you know the casings are sold in units called hanks and they're 91 meters long?
Ooh.
Say there are 7 sausages to the meter, 91 meters in a hank. 630 sausages. How long does it take you to eat 630 sausages? So do a day, so...
Yeah, a hanky year. I could try for that next year. That could be my New Year's resolution.
Wow, do you think you get crowdfunding?
I'm not sure. I think I would get gout.
Yeah.
I think I would feel very unwell in 2026.
I wonder how that relates to the longest sausage in the world. How many hanks was the longest sausage in the world?
690 hanks.
Oh, okay.
So it's two supermarket teams who teamed up in a city in Romania in 2014.
Where was it? Like in a field? Was it safe to eat? I can imagine it wasn't.
They laid it out in a tent in a parking lot outside one of the supermarkets.
How did they lay that sausage out? Like 39 miles worth of sausage.
Or was it curled up like a England sausage?
So I think I've seen pictures of it up and down in rows and rows. So they do like one long row and then they'll kind of flip it back on itself. So it'll go down and then up and then down and then up.
Kind of like a radiator.
Exactly.
Or snake. I was thinking snake on my Nokia 3310 when you're right at the end.
Two big red flags there. One, parking lot sausage, and two... tent sausage.
Parking
Two
lot
types
sausages.
Of sausage I am not keen to try.
I've seen parking lot sausage on the internet and it's it's wild. Let me tell you that.
God. You've seen a lot on the internet and you keep bringing it up.
Let's crack into our lunchboxes, starting with Rosie. So what have you brought to our table today?
I brought with me some sausage-shaped sausages. And then I've also bought round sausages and square sausages.
Wow.
I wanted to talk to you today about the shape of sausages. Why are they the shape that they are? Should they be that shape?
I can't describe the shape in any other way
other
apart
than sausage
from
shapes.
Yeah, I was thinking that it's funny how like it's so ingrained into our lexicon as a shape. You know,
yeah, that's true.
You wouldn't say anything other than sausage shape.
I'm sure there's a mathematical way to describe it because it's like a cylinder, but the edges are hemispheres.
So historically, the shape of a sausage had its purpose. The pork meat, the cured pork meat, was fed into sheep's intestines. And then it was kept in a sort of cylindrical shape because that is the natural shape of a sheep's intestine.
Of an intestine, yeah.
Yeah. You know, I've never seen my own intestines, but I assume that they are that shape. Anyway.
It's an old preservative method.
It's an old preservative. It's how sausage sauce, how salami is, how all those cured meats have come to pass.
Mm. Also adding like a lot of spice and a lot of salt to help preserve it in the intestine.
Yeah. Nowadays, we're using all these synthetic skins because everyone's an absolute wuss about intestines. Do they still need to be cylindrical? Do they still need to be these tubes of meat? When we use them for sandwiches, for example, are they actually better off in a patty form? A square sausage, perhaps? A round burger of sausage meat? This is what I wanted to ask you today. How does that taste different to a normal sausage? Is it worth us looking into changing the shape of sausages worldwide?
Innovate.
So I have made a few different shapes, although I will be honest with you, they didn't come out particularly well. I wanted to make square sausage and round sausage, and they ended up just looking kind of like the same.
Mumps, yeah.
In like puck form. But I think it's a good place to start. So I've got a sausage for you each from my favourite butcher in Southeast London.
Mm. So for the listener, these are
the most fat.
Thank you. Beautiful, like quite petite, short sausages. They're very plump. They've got a beautiful brown colour on them.
So when you cook sausages, you'll notice that the sausage might like bend and split or, you know, make a funny shape. Nothing wrong with that funny shape though, men.
If it lifts to one side or if it's shorter than it is
but
long.
Basically, the reason why that is because pans don't conduct heat evenly. Typically, most pans that you own, even a Le Creuset, won't not have a hot spot. So basically, you'll end up with some of the skin that will cook faster than that and it will contort, the muscle in it will...
I've experienced that.
You've experienced that. Yeah. Okay, we'll talk about that later. But the way to combat that is to cook them very slowly in a pan with butter for like 30 minutes, just like basting and turning and basting and turning. And I learned that in the food styling world because we would have to do that to get perfect straight sausages on ad shoots. So that's what I've done today.
Amazing.
Noticing.
I've actually heard that, that the best sausages are like left in a very low heat in a pan for about an hour. So it basically confies.
Yeah, exactly. They just need to sort of be very gently cooked. And they're fine in the oven as well. They're fine every other way. Listen, I love a burnt sausage on a barbecue as much as the next girl. That's great stuff. But for a perfect iteration, it's low and slow in a pan with butter. Mm. Because A, if you turn the heat up too high with butter, it will burn. So just by using butter, you're keeping yourself on a low heat. But also those milk particles within butter will get really lovely and golden and they'll stick to the skin of the sausage. So they'll in turn give it this lovely golden hue way more evenly than oil will. So that's why I would use butter over oil.
That's a great tip.
Anyway, so that is obviously the straight up, plain and simple, classic Cumberland. I do think these are the best Cumberland sausages I've ever had.
Really, yeah.
They are so tasty.
They are really good.
Also,
aren't they?
The browning is so good. Like it adds so much flavour.
But now I'd love you to tell me what you think of a different shape.
This is the round.
Well, technically that's supposed to be square, but...
Oh, okay.
You know, think about all the times when we eat sausages. When you eat sausage sandwiches sometimes from the calf, sometimes you get bites of just bread where there's no sausage because of the shape of it. And I just think ergonomically, especially for sandwich purposes, which is an extremely important category within sausages, are we doing them right?
Of course, if you're Scottish, you're fully aware of a square sausage or lawn sausage, L-O-R-N-E, which is a thing up there. Like I spent many an Edinburgh Fringe enjoying a square sausage in the morning after a heavy night. And they're typically served with a Scottish breakfast, like a big fry up. They just serve them square.
I swear the Scots have got it down. They know what's going on.
I did have a question about the sausage skin in terms of keeping it moist, because I feel like this is very divisive and there's lots of conflicting advice. To prick or not to prick your sausage?
Oh, before you cook?
Yeah.
That is the advice on many, many sausage packaging. Mm-hmm.
I think that advice is outdated because I think that used to really refer to when the sausages, the golden days of butchery, let's be honest, when actual sausages and their casings and everything was so tightly, neatly, perfectly done, you know, that actually there was a chance that there was no air going to escape out either side. And therefore, when the air expanded and water and stuff was expanding during the cooking, it would burst the skin. I don't often find myself wishing I'd pricked now, depending on the day. but I think basically sausages aren't as well made anymore. And sorry, butchers out there, I'm not calling you out. Like, I'm not trashing you. Don't cancel me. Mm-hmm. But I just think we don't need to as much.
That's why they were called bangers, isn't it? Because they used to explode in the pan.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Also, I'm interested to know when you think the golden age of butchery was.
Well, to be honest, Jack, I think it was probably any time in the... I don't even know really the time frame, but the place, really. There's a town in Umbria in Italy called Norcia, and Norcia is known for its pork product production. It's incredibly famous in Italy as being the home of pork butchery historically. From, I think, the medieval times. Their specialist butchers there are called Norcinerinas, which basically means like you are top qual.
Right.
And they were so good, the pork butchers, that the Italians would actually have them do operations on humans.
No way.
Because they were that good at like getting the most out of the meat, you know, which I thought was a really cool thing and begs the question, would you eat a human sausage? That's for another episode.
So, Mr. Rossi, the bad news is we have to chop your leg off. The good news is we can give you 46 free sausages.
Nice. Anyway, there's a great pasta dish from Norcia, which is called pasta alla Norcina. And it's literally like crumbled Italian sausage, cream, chili, nutmeg. Oh my God, it's really delicious.
Sounds great.
One of my faves.
Let's move on to our second lunchbox, which is mine. And in it, I have a shrink-wrapped sausage.
What?
Straight from a sausage vending machine.
Where have you found a sausage vending machine?
Heaven.
Oh, yes. In Germany, people love sausages so much.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That they have approximately 500,000 sausage vending machines.
What?
Which are placed normally outside of butchers, and they're stocked by the butchers, but they're open 24/7. So if you get a sausage craving at like 3 a.m, you can just go to the vending machine.
Is it by any chance next to one of those condom vending machines you find in France? Then you could have like a handy sausage bag to carry them home. Oh, no. Okay. So they're already wrapped.
Yeah. So pre-wrapped. There's an impressive variety of sausages. Yeah.
I'm seeing a lot of different colours and shapes.
And is it refrigerated?
Mm-hmm. I hope so.
Yeah, you'd have to assume.
There's lots of different kinds of sausage. Sometimes there are other kinds of cured meat in there. If you're lucky, they have like a kind of mash or side dish, so you can have a full dinner.
I think the British vending machine game is on a level poor.
It is quite bad.
Compared to the world vending machine game. But in Japan...
Oh,
like what can't you vending machine? Like literally like, anything.
Mm-hmm. I've heard of used panties.
No.
What?
Yeah. There's like a used panty vending machine. I'm not sure it's actually open anymore because it caused some controversy, but it's definitely around in 2018.
Good Lord.
Don't ask me how I know that.
I was going to say.
yeah, Jack.
But I was going to say the reason why I brought up the vending machine is because the German love of sausages is so strong and so beautiful.
The sausage culture feels stronger in Germany because they actually have vending machines for them, which we don't have here. But what we do have is a battered sausage, which is up there with the best sausage you can eat. Let's be honest.
This is potentially my favorite food.
Really?
Yeah.
There is something about the battered sausage that is just so satisfying on so many levels.
I have to agree. They are up there with the best. And I really find fish and chips to be quite like bang av at the risk of striking a revolt in this country.
Wow.
I just don't think fish and chips is that great. But I do think a battered sausage and chips is really,
because they're often
really
sold in fish and chip shops, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, back to German sausage appreciation. Okay. So they used to eat the most in the world.
Per person,
per capita. But they've recently been overtaken by the Czech Republic. But they still produce the most sausage in the world. So in 2023, Germany made about 2 million tons of sausages. They also have a lot of variety, around 1,200 different types of sausage or wurst.
Wow.
Currywurst. Do we enjoy? Do we like?
Ooh. I do like currywurst.
Just explain what it is.
Yes. Currywurst is a bratwurst, so an uber processed sausage, not like a sort of British style, slightly coarser grind. Often boiled, served with a spiced curry sauce, which is a very general use of the word curry. It's German curry.
It's like chip shop curry sauce.
Yeah.
Mixed with ketchup. Anyway, it's a kind of speciality to Berlin. They did recently have a Currywurst Museum.
It sounds great. They have a spice chamber for sniffing, like the spices of the Currywurst. They also had audio station playing Currywurst themed songs throughout the museum.
How many can you name?
That's such a stretch.
How many can any Berliner name, to be honest?
I have no idea. But also a virtual Currywurst game to play called Curry Up. I have no idea what that involved, but yeah, it sounded like a great laugh.
Although I saw that closed because they didn't have enough revenue because people weren't coming in.
Oh God.
The age of Netflix and free internet porn, like there's no reason to go to the Currywurst Museum.
No, and also you could just go and eat a Currywurst.
Yeah, like. Exactly.
But the reason I bring up the Currywurst is because Volkswagen, the car manufacturer, also makes Currywurst sausages.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I know. So they have a on-site butcher in their headquarters in Wolfsburg, which is west of Berlin and close to Hanover. It's been open since 1973 when it initially started to feed their workers, but soon they started selling it to the public and it's got like a cult following across the world.
Like IKEA meatballs,
kind of. kind of. Anyway, so they produce so many of these. And in 2015, when Volkswagen went through a slightly sticky patch to do with its like CO2 emissions and testings. Anyway, it had
told a few porky pies, didn't it?
Oh, it did.
Hey. A few sausages.
So not a great moment, but it didn't affect their sausage sales at all. So in 2015, they sold more sausages than they did cars. So that's 7.2 million sausages and only 5.82 million cars.
In Central Europe, they actually give away a pack of sausages whenever you buy a VW.
Oh,
yeah,
that's so kind.
I wonder if they were actually putting the emissions in the sausages to get rid of them.
Well, it's sinking. CO2 sinking into
basically carcinogenic.
You got to worry when Volkswagen start producing black pudding.
Yeah, that's true. Full of soot from the exhaust pipes. That's why they're sausage shaped. They come out of the exhaust of cars.
That would be a great ad.
We've cracked this thing wide open.
Okay, so I also looked up a few German sausage sayings because the sausage has infiltrated their idioms.
Ooh, wait, I know one.
Okay, go on.
Can I start? I think I'm right with this. Das ist mir Wurst, which means that is sausage to me. And that means you don't care.
It's harsh.
Das ist mir Wurst.
So it doesn't make sense because they love sausage.
Well, yeah, that's true.
But maybe it's because it's so prolific.
Yeah, it's just
it's
everywhere.
Like, it's just like dust.
It's like air to me.
Eine extra Wurst. Verlangen.
Extra Wurst. So, that means extra sausage, I assume.
So to ask for an extra sausage is to ask for special treatment. So it's like, to be spoiled, basically.
So you think that's where extrovert comes from?
The opposite of introvert.
I'm going to say next time I'm in a conversation with someone, I'm like, I'm just such an extrovert, and just see if they say anything about it.
So the next one is Die beleichtigte Liebe Wurst spielen.
Die beleichtigte Liebe Wurst spielen. So spielen is to play.
Mm-hmm. So it means to play the offended liver sausage.
Okay.
Which means to act like a prima donna.
If you haven't got your extra wurst, you might play the offended liver sausage.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. The last one I have isn't actually in German, it's English. Cockney rhyming slang.
Oh, yeah.
What do we think bangers means?
Bangers and mash, hash, the cannabis.
Jack's on it. It is bangers and mash.
Uh-huh. Oh, cash.
Yes.
Oh,
money.
Got it. Mm-hmm. I haven't got any bangers with me. Do you accept Monto?
time for our final lunchbox, which is Jack.
I've got a dastardly one here. I've got these two sausages. One of them is completely parasitically worm-free. The other one I can't say is. So I've infected one of them with trichinae larva, which will make you very ill if you eat it. And I wanted to offer either of them to you.
Why would we take those?
So this comes from a story from 1865. There was a guy called Rudolf Virchow. He was a German sort of Victorian gentleman, and he was medically trained. He's actually known as the Pope of Medicine in many circles. He's kind of the father of discovering pathology and why things spread and what parasites and basically why food spoiled. So people for a long time knew that pork went off, but they didn't really know what was causing it. And he basically found under a microscope these tiny little wriggly worms. And he did some scientific experiments to prove that it was the worms causing the chaos. He got into politics and he was...
that sounds promising.
He was a highly respected academic, so people trusted he was a clever guy. One day, Virchow was annoyed with von Bismarck's fiscal policies or something dull.
Sorry, just to place this.
Yeah.
Otto von Bismarck?
Otto von Bismarck, yes. The reunifier of Germany. So von Bismarck got really pissed off with Virchow, and eventually it got to the point where he challenged him to a duel. So this is von Bismarck challenges Virchow. But the rules of the time meant that the challengee got to choose the weapons. So Rudolf Virchow, the wily fox that he was, chose these two sausages. And he said that one of them was infected with a lethal parasitic worm and the other one was fresh. And von Bismarck was so scared that he backed down and he conceded.
Wow. I genuinely didn't see that coming.
Yeah. So this guy, Virchow, he discovered these trichinae, they're called, and they're just common in pork products. So that's what happens when your pork goes off, usually.
What are your thoughts on, I know some people wouldn't eat like medium rare pork. I personally would, like an Iberico Secreto cooked nice and medium rare. I think that's delicious. But a lot of people are like, oh, couldn't possibly, like, pork should be cooked through.
Well,
what are your thoughts?
I think it all depends on how it's presented, because I've been told that mince is bad because it's been exposed to the air. So there's a lot more bacteria that can land on it, and then it all gets mushed in. So if you don't cook a sausage all the way through, you're more at risk. But a steak, the middle of a steak has never been exposed to the air.
Yeah, fact, that is
which is why
on.
You can eat a steak rare. So if you're eating a pork chop, then yeah, but a sausage. Yeah.
Do you remember there was like a golden age of burgers being cooked rare and then suddenly you couldn't get them rare anymore in restaurants? And it's because the Health Standards Agency or whatever they're called.
EHO.
The EHOs decided that you couldn't serve minced beef that you hadn't minced yourself, because you couldn't date when it had been minced,
yes,
necessarily. And that, as you say, is when it gets exposed,
absolutely,
to a shitload more bacteria. So basically many restaurants now will only cook a burger to a medium rare at the most, because they didn't mince it themselves and they didn't like mince it fresh that day.
Yeah, if you go to France and ask for a steak tartare, they will chop the mince up in front of you, they'll grind it, and it goes through a sort of ultraviolet light to kill any bacteria that might be there. And then they tell you directly, like, make sure you eat this today.
Wow.
On the topic of fighting and sausages, can you picture a nuclear submarine?
Yes.
I think so, yeah.
Kind of sausage-shaped in its own way.
Mm.
Britain's Astute-class military nuclear submarines. So they can run on fuel forever and ever and ever, theoretically, and they'll last like 10,000 years burning nuclear fuel. And they can recycle air and water. So what's to stop them staying underwater forever and ever and ever? Well, it's limited by the number of sausages it can hold, because it feeds the crew sausages for every breakfast. And it's only got space for 18,000. So it has to surface to refill on sausages. That's the thing that
limits
its range.
That's the only thing it needs to come back to the surface. What about other food?
They say on their own website it's the sausages that do it, but they also stack Weetabix and presumably milk and tea bags and stuff, but they pack a lot smaller. So I think the sausages are the thing that, and you need fridge space for sausages.
You do need fridge space.
Yeah.
18,000 sausages, quite something.
So Britain's being happy. If you can find a better way to package sausages, then Britain's military capabilities will be extended.
Yeah, we can all go live under the...
We can all go live in a nuclear submarine.
The square sausage would pack.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Crack this thing wide open.
The MOD, please get in touch. Yeah. We've got some IP for you.
is it for this week's edition of Lunchbox Envy. If you'd like to get in touch, you can find us on Instagram at Lunchbox Envy Pod.
You can also email lunchbox@qi.com for any questions. Rosie, of course, you've got your new book out. Have you got any favourite sausage recipes within?
I actually do, Jack, yes. I've got a braised merguez sausage stew with chickpeas and potatoes. And merguez sausages are made with lamb and they're spiced and they're delicious. And it's a really good, like, easy dinner for a big crowd.
Nice, that sounds delicious.
And we'll leave you with this final German phrase. Jack, would you like to do the honours?
Alles hat ein Ende, nur die Wurst hat zwei.
Everything has an end, only the sausage has two. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, extra Wursts.
Lunchbox Envy was hosted by Jack Chambers, Rosie McKean, and me, Manu Oreo. It was mixed by Li Ying Li and produced by Alex Bell. This has been a quite interesting podcast.